Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to WSCIRO, and that is Sikh International Outreach Radio, Sikh Christian International Outreach Radio, Greater Boston, worldwide. That's what the W stands for. And I am Dr. Shirley Kenneth here, and it is Saturday, March 21st, 2009. The second day of spring. Spring has sprung, thank God. And also it is approximately 1:04. I was a little late in calling in, but nevertheless, I am here. We broadcast out of our studio in our home office here, and of course on Saturdays, like everybody else in the whole wide world, we have to do house cleaning. So we not only have to do physical house cleaning, but we also need to do spiritual house cleaning. But for the most part, we had to do physical house cleaning. Our clothes are in the laundry as I'm speaking. Okay, just a little bit of down to earth kind of thing, because we're not in a big plush studio like we like to think we are, but we are calling from our home office studio, and it's really great to be here. We're going to kick off our fundraising, our first, and you know, for the most part, our first fundraising efforts, utilizing the latest in technology through Blog Talk Radio. And it's such a pleasure. We are a 501c3, and we represent not only WSCIRO and WSTKITV, which is our internet television component, outreach part of our fellowship, but we come from Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center. Okay, that's what we represent. We're pastoral associates as well as media missionaries. So we, you know, this seems to be the new trend in, I believe, in Christian ministry worldwide. And in a couple minutes, we are going to have one of our fellow team members. They'll be calling in as our guest, as our confirmed guest, and his name is Timothy O'Leary. You've seen him. If you've been following us faithfully on Faith Talks Live Prayer, on Blog TV, as well as other things that we do together. All right, so we're going to, if you notice, if you visited our blog on Blog Talk Radio, the numbers actually are HTTP, I should say not numbers, the internet address is http://blogtalkradio.com/WSCIRO. And we originally were scheduled for yesterday, and we're trying to scramble for guests as usual. And it just seemed like every time there was a guest that said yes, like our friend Karen Meisner, who she will be on. She was going to be our original guest from the West Coast. And she is a Hollywood producer, but she's a Messianic Christian at that. And she also, well, that was her past was she was a producer from Hollywood. And she still has that accolade. And she really wants to do some personal things from where she is in with the West Palm Springs. But she is going to, she is actually writing for Messianic Times right now. And she is the editor, managing editor of Messianic Times. So, you know, this is a wonderful, opportunity to be able to have her at some point be able to, tell people what she's doing and what she wants to do. So, that will be in another broadcast. And then we have Charlene Rice, who is also she's on Facebook, actually, and on YouTube. And she does the Peace and Art shows. And she's just really full of talent, and she's agreed at some point to come on, too. To be one of our guests to come on Blog Talk Radio and tell us what the Lord's been doing through her ministry. Well, right now it's 1:08, and approximately, I told Tim, he's like a brother to me, to fall in at 1:10. So I'm diligently looking at the clock, 1:09, and at some point we'll be clicking on the phone icon, and he will come on, and we will have another kind of show. Again, we're a 501c3. We represent Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center of Greater Boston. We are, we've been in existence since 1984, and within the last 10 years, I've actually, I think it's more than 10 years, right, Jeff? It's about 15 years. About 15 years ago, the ministry was put into my hand by the pastor of our church, who wanted somebody with a mission and vision to reach the world, use it in a way that hasn't been used before. So I came in on the scene there and let him know what my mission and vision was. And I had been sitting on that. I had written the vision and mission on a tablet, like it says in Habakkuk, and not losing heart on the mission and vision of the ministry, but sharing with as many people as I possibly, as the Lord put on my heart to do. And all of a sudden, you know, now it was like a hand in glove. The Lord gave this to me right around Christmas time. Someone had prophesied that I was going to receive a ministry during Christmas as a gift from the Lord, and that the mission and vision fit it like a hand in a glove. So there was just something waiting to happen. And the Lord also brought me into his school through research and various mentors about just how to run a 501c3. And so by the time I received it, I knew exactly where it was, and then I was able to, based on what I've known and come to know and learned over time about how to run a 501c3, what the missing ingredients were, and I was able to kind of fill those things in. So, you know, now we have it up and running, and the beauty about this whole thing is that we're doing this fundraising for several reasons. During the formulation of our ministry, the Lord began to minister to us about ministry development and how many ministries lack that, and that there was four phases in that, and he began to show us what they were. And based on those four phases of ministry development, those four phases were actually like checkpoints of where ministry should be. And see, ministry flows from within, so part one, phase one of our ministry has to do with inner transformation and preparing the ministry leader to go deeper in their walk with the Lord so they can be more effective in the kingdom of God. But there's several, there's a curriculum that the Lord had put in our hearts to gather as much of the resources that we would need to teach out of so his work of inner transformation within us and within whoever takes the four phases of ministry development, it would begin to spark what God's doing in the inner man of the individual. Does anything want to say, honey? I just want to say hi. Everybody say hi to my honey here.
Hi, folks. This is Dr. Jeff Canup. How are you?
I really would like for Jim to call, so we're just praying right now. Maybe he's going to come on at 1:15. We gave him the number to call, and so we'll just see if he calls in on that number. So, when this shifts, we'll let you know that we have a guest call on that. Okay, so.
What else do you want to talk about?
Well, why we're here is I'm kind of giving you an idea of how we started and who we are, and you have to experience us more than find out what we are. Just like the Lord, you know, when you walk with the Lord, the only way you're really going to know the Lord is to, you know, there's some knowledge, you know, that you would receive through teaching and through relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But then there's the day in and day out walking out your relationship, okay, that you have with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, and that has to do a lot with intimacy, you know. And so, you know, when the Lord begins to show himself in your everyday circumstances and situations. You can't help but ignore him. I mean, you can't ignore him. I'm sorry. You cannot ignore him because he's just so awesome and he's just so wonderful. And I just want to, that's what I want to do. I want to give glory to the Lord right now. I want to just begin this whole fundraising endeavor, and it's going to be from March to June, because we're not only going to do this from time to time on Blog Talk Radio, because we do have other teachers that the Lord wants us to teach. But what we're going to do is we're going to, honey, my honey wants to say something. What do you want to say to me?
One of our strengths before we got to this point,
yeah,
we went and did live filming.
Right. And we're still doing live filming.
And well, it's expensive.
Yes.
Sometimes just with the resources we already have,
mm-hmm,
it could be like $40 to $50 for one recording session or one subject.
Right.
And that's just like one of the hidden expenses nobody realizes.
Oh, we got a call. We got a call. We got Tim's calling. Hi, Tim. Okay, on air. Hello, Tim.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi. I was letting the viewing audience, the listening audience, know that at some point the show is going to shift because we were expecting you to call, and I saw that you came up on the icon. This is you're our first caller since we started airing Blog Talk Radio on WSCIRO. Is that great?
That's fantastic. I'm honored to be the first caller.
And you made history. Say hi to our worldwide audience. This is worldwide, you know, and
worldwide.
This is really one. Yeah, worldwide. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm honored to be on here, and I think it's a great thing that you're doing, and we really want to support you for raising the funds that you need. It's a very important thing to keep all of these great ministries that you're doing on the air and broadcasting the words of hope, the words of new life, and the words of surrender to our loving God. And so
amen.
You're doing a great work.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. You know, and speaking about doing the great work, I mean, you have been so helpful and such a key part of our team. Even in your, you know, what you think our weakness is, you know, it says in Scripture, you know, in our weakness, God, the Lord Jesus is our strength, because that's his ministry of restoration to us, to become, you know, strength to us, you know, so that we can continue on with our walk. And you seem to have that tenacious faith to grab hold of the hem of his garment and then his hand, you know, and just not let go. And I really, that's such a good example to me, and I believe to others that listen to you on radio, because this is the first time, but it's not your first time on radio. I want you to share with the viewing audience what your experience on radio is. But you know, they've seen you on Blog TV, and you've just been so transparent. And, I believe people appreciate that. So tell us, like, you know, tell us what your background is and what your experience is. And I think Jeff, do you have anything to say? No, not yet, but you will. Just nudge me, okay? All right. He's good at nudging. He nudges me with his eyes.
Well, I want to thank you for those kind words that you offered toward me. That's very encouraging to me, and I personally take that as an uplifting thing. And for our listeners, I actually was at one time in professional radio, working up in the state of New Hampshire, which is a state in the northern part of the United States, for those of you who are in another country. And I worked as a newscaster and news reporter and did the morning drive news program. And so I have been, at one point in my life, I was in radio as a profession, and it was a time of, it was a great spiritual time in my life. There was a lot going on in my life at that time spiritually as well. So I'm honored to be able to bring whatever little skills I may have left over to the plate here to help out Dr. Shirley Caniff and Dr. Jeffrey Caniff in their great, great efforts. You guys do wonderful work with spreading the good news, and I definitely want to support and encourage listeners to support your organization and support with donations for a very good cause so that you'll be able to have the funding to continue the programming that you do.
Well, I thank you. I thank you, Tim, for those accolades. I just hope we can live up to that. And, you know, even if I just want to share with the viewing audience that when the Lord put us into ministry, it wasn't so that we could get donations, and it wasn't so that, you know, it was because of the love of God, because, you know, he had a message to share to the world through our lives. And my whole thing was, well, how can you use someone like me, Lord? I mean, I seem to have flubbed up and made all kinds of mistakes. I definitely did not have, like, a clean upbringing like some of our leaders have that come from, you know, families where there's five generations of pastors. Although we do have, and Tim, I share this with you from time to time, we do have some connections. Seven generations ago, we found out after my brother-in-law was doing a family tree. My brother-in-law was adopted, so he had this innate desire to do a family tree on his family upbringing, and he's half African-American and half Swedish. The kids are beautiful because we have a whole lot of American Indian in us from several tribes, and, you know, we also have Cape Verdean background, and my natural biological father, who passed away at 33, had, you know, the Seminole Indian from down south, you know, mixed with African American, and my mother's background had a whole bunch of other things, including Jewishness and things like that. So, I mean, Tinder-Irishness. We definitely have the United Nations blood in our veins, flowing through our veins. You know, but yes, Freeborn Garrison, you all can look him up in Google. He is, he's been known in the historical archives as the revolutionary prophet. And that his name shows up several times in our family genetic history background in the genogram, because he had such an impact in our family line. It was like an uncle, seven generations removed. And he was the first conscientious objector in the Revolutionary War because he had been third generation from Great Britain over here in America when his family settled. They may even have come over here, as pilgrims, okay? And so what happened was they settled in the Maryland, New York area, Baltimore, Maryland, New York. It seemed like the family finally ended up in New York near Greenmore. Near Garrison. They changed it for Garrison to Garrison. So Garrison, New York, is, you know, they have owned a lot of land out in that area. And they had owned a lot of slaves and original slave trade of 1700, and, you know, where it was a little bit more just, you know, you do your 7 years and then you're released free, whether you were, Caucasian descent or, you know, an African American descent, and, you know, you started your family, and they took care of the, you know, people very well. That was the industry of the day, I suppose, even though, you know, there are people that, you know, we slavery is not good in any circumstance, you know, even if the economy is failing, just another way for everybody to spread the wealth and, you know, and to be equal in this democratic system. But the point that I was trying to make is that was the time where, after the death of his father, I believe it was John Garrison, what happened was he was the one that was to inherit everything, including the slaves. And his whole thing, I read this in his diary, the travels of Mr. Freeborn Garrison, he had an experience, an encounter, a God encounter, And our Lord was showing him how, you know, his mercy reigns on the just and the unjust, and really convicted his heart to free the slaves. The Lord showed him his destiny and fate, too. And, you know, he describes it as very, very, he was trembling. He had I guess he experienced the fear, awesome fear of the Lord, you know. But yet he was still weak in other areas. He's trying to figure out why the Lord's apprehended him after, you know, such a weak vessel. And it seems like whenever he resisted preaching, the Lord would remove his hand and all these strange things would happen to him. And then he would cry out several times in his walk, and then the Lord would restore him. So, you know, this is our relative. And the other thing is that, so after that, the Revolutionary War happened, and then he was a conscientious objector. He was thrown in jail several times, and, you know, then he would preach, you know, then he would escape. Then he would preach the circuit, not the circus, but the circuit, the preaching circuit. He established Methodist churches all over the place. He studied under John Wesley, and John Wesley encouraged him to write this diary, a very famous diary called The Travels of Mr. Freeborn Garrickson. And I have that finally. I was trying to figure out, you know, because it goes all the way back to the 1700s. And I had a strange dream before I knew all this. And this is why I felt like God was showing me what our generational background was. And, wow. You know, I had this dream that I was in this Victorian home. It kind of looked like the home I grew up in. And the Lord took me to this roof. It was like a dome, roof. It was a cathedral dome, like what you would see in churches. And so what happened was, you know, I become the five-year-old little girl in the in this dream. And this, you know, this from the floor was like soft, like protoplasm, like what the cell is made out of. So I knew it was a generational dream. Even in the dream, I knew. And all of a sudden, it was like the Lord took my finger, and I connected it to the finger of this figure from, like, the Victorian age, you know. You know, he looked just like Freeborn Garrison as I saw the pictures in real life. And so, and then this charge of electricity started going through my body. And then I woke up, I'm like, what was that? And then I found out, you know, yeah, a month later. So this, the Lord can take us back into our dream life to show us more about that, you know, about our life, even from our generation. So, you know how it says in Scripture that, you know, if somebody in our family line sins, then the sins of the parents are passed down to generations and generations. Well, how about generational blessings? So the Lord showed me that,
generational blessings last for a thousand generations.
So somebody, you know, if the Lord touched somebody in another generation, they would get the seventh generation. You know, they would go, if the blessings, they'll also generate it. It doesn't mean that the curses cancel out the blessings. This is that, you know, it depends on which road you take, which road you choose, you know?
Right, absolutely. Yeah. That was a very interesting story, Shirley. I never knew about that history in your family before.
Oh, okay. I thought I told you about it several times. I must have maybe mentioned it in a conversation. With me, you can't, like with you, you can't have a conversation just like in a day. It's almost like you have to be in a long radio broadcast or, you know, over several days.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I just want, let's just pray right now, because before you called, I was just about ready to get into prayer, and then Jeff had something to offer about why we're, you know, about what we, you know, what it takes to run, you know, the ministry, what it, you know, and based on also what we're going to do in the future, what the Lord's already put in our hearts. So I just want to just offer up this time, the rest of this broadcast. We have an hour and 1 minute. We mean, and we know that it's going to be filled up very quickly. Yes, we have so many different things to say to the body of Christ, and I really believe you have something to share, but we need to pray first for that release. right now. So let's just offer this up right now. Now, let me get Jeff. He just went into the other room. Jeff, honey. We're going to be praying now for this rest of this broadcast, okay? All right, so let's go into the back into the studio prayer room here. One good thing about having ministry coming from your home is that you could be doing cooking and still have a show. Yeah, so how's your parents, Tim?
My parents are very well. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Hi, Tim.
It's Jeff right now.
Oh,
all
hi,
right.
Jeff.
So, yeah, Jeff is doing well with you know, everybody. I don't know who's been listening to the broadcast or even been watching us on Blog TV, but Jeff had been diagnosed with leukemia and is doing remarkably well. He had a blood count of 175,000 for the white blood cell count, and usually people at 55,000 go into blast crisis. So that was a miracle right there. They were wondering why he wasn't in blast crisis. It's CML leukemia. And I think the prognosis for women are much bleaker with leukemia than it is for men
actually,
in general.
I was looking on the internet, and it's actually worse for children and adolescents of high school age.
Really? Wow. And so they do have a host of targeted therapies, and I suggest that anybody that is listening, if you have a concern with that or you know somebody who, you know, just got a diagnosis, you know, have them look up targeted therapy. You know, Dana-Farber has free therapies out there because it's, you know, they have drugs that are, you know, under research, but they're remarkable. They're better than, you know, what's out there right now. And all you would probably need to do is hop on a plane. And right now, from what I hear, the airfare is pretty cheap now. So, you know, that's some, you know, that's a good thing. That we can also be praying for you, too. I mean, God can sovereignly heal. And we believe that the hand of the Lord actually stopped Jeff from, you know,
premature
death. Yeah, or, you know, or really, really being sick to the point of being in a coma. I mean, this is, you know, this is very serious when it goes unnoticed. So we can't ignore, you know, what our bodies are telling us, you know, what God's telling us through our bodies. But, Tim, is there anything you have to say about the you know, the what we just said about the leukemia, about diagnosis and anything that kind of like...
I think that it was a real blessing that Jeff, that it was found when it was found by the doctors, and that I believe that the hand of God is upon both Jeff and you, Shirley, to help bring about this remarkable turnaround where Jeff is doing so much better, and to be able to provide for all of the needs to, by the grace of God, that you have the health insurance, that you, Shirley, were able to minister to Jeff by being able to take him to his doctor's appointments. I mean, I just see God's blessings upon this all over the place, that, you know, Jeff was snatched from the hands of the enemy who wanted to impose a sickness upon him, and one that could have been, you know, much worse, but it turned out to be a victory. And I'm just so delighted to see it, and I just see the hand of God in the whole process for both of you guys.
Thank you. Well, he definitely has a mission and vision that he's given us, and we said yes to it. And we just keep, you know, so whenever any of these, we call them distractions, come our way, it's like, well, Lord, we didn't finish what you wanted us to. And, you know, so that's what we go back to, you know, and so then we just reach out to his hand and just take it, and then he just does the rest. You know, I remember even talking to you in between one of our broadcasts, Tim, when Jeff went into the other room to do something, I was like, I don't know what it is. But I said, I don't want to speak this on Jeff or anything. But the Lord's telling me he's sick and he has to go to the hospital. I'm like, you know, he's losing energy, and I'm just afraid that one day, you know, he's not going to wake up from sleep, you know. And I was really
oh,
very, very
boy.
Concerned. Yeah.
You were very worried, huh?
He was losing all the weight. Remember the weight he was losing? He's gaining it back.
I'm balanced.
Despite
how it happened, I'm going to maintain the healthy aspect of it.
Right. But you're not getting back. You're not losing anymore.
Stop that.
Yes. So when I was in church, it was right after Holy Communion, because we receive Eucharist to the Catholic Church. The Lord started speaking to me after the reception of the communion, and he gave me a picture of Jeff, and he said, "It is, you know, he's the one that's been talking to me. It's not my imagination. And if I don't do anything, then it could be fatal." But whenever the Lord stops talking to me like that, I better do what he tells me to do.
Yeah,
you know?
What was your first response to testify?
Oh, yeah, my first response, because I was also known, I hate to say this, I love my husband very much. I love Jeff. I love you, Jeff. But we've had discussions where, you know, he kind of described me as a nag.
Oh.
Especially when it came to his health, you know, when it came to him. I always called him my clandestine husband. I'm like, "I'm married to you, but who is this man that I'm married to? What's going on?" I'm like, I always thought he was keeping something away from me, you know, and things like that. So it definitely was this concern about his health that he had that he didn't want to tell me, but I can tell by his eyes and in his face that something was always on his mind and bothering him. So I just ran this test question by the Lord. I'm like, "Lord, I know it's you talking to me, but if you want my husband to, you know, understand this, who you made, can you please just talk to him about it too?" Before I talk to him. So he did.
Her conversation with God took place on Saturday, and then the next day at home on Sunday, and I just go into the bedroom and I just literally fall on the top of the bed and say, "God, I don't know what's wrong with me. I surrender my heart, mind, and soul and spirit to you and confound the wisdom of the wise."
Yeah.
And that's all, and I gave him myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very next day I called my regular primary care physician to make an appointment. They had scheduled a day for a half a day so the doctor could be at some kind of medical conference. And so we made the appointment for the next day, which was the 27th of January. And he took some blood. Well, part two of the conversation before I get to the blood taking. Here's Shirley for that part.
Well, prior to that, I would say, so when I finally got Jeff's attention, he was telling me about the encounter that he had Sunday morning, the night after I went to church Saturday evening, because when you're Catholic, you can, well, you know this, Tim, I'm just informing the viewing audience, that you can, Sunday service can also, you know, Saturday service can also be like a Sunday service, and then you can probably visit a church that's not necessarily Catholic, that's hopped in and flowing with the Holy Spirit. So you can do two things. That's the beauty and freedom of being Catholic. But anyways, so then back to Sunday morning, I'm sitting at the edge of the bed, and Jeff telling me his God encounter, and I said, "Well, all right, now I'm able to release this." I said, "This is what the Lord told me. You need to get to the hospital. You need to get to the doctor, number one, and because he's the one that takes, you know, he really, really takes his profession seriously. He doesn't play around with the insurance companies, and he will give you the necessary tests." And then I said, "We will know that this is God saying to go back to doctor number one if he says this when he first sees you." "Well, I haven't seen you in a long time. What's going on? You lost a lot of weight. Let's do some tests." And he said exactly those same words. So we knew that we were going to get to the bottom of this thing that maybe Jeff's been struggling with all his life, but up until, you know, as he got older, it's like onset of diabetes. The potential was there because this is caused by the Philadelphia chromosome and things like that. So that's basically that in a nutshell. And then the rest is within 24 hours, the doctor calls us back and tells us, because we were expecting a call back in 2 weeks because the test for diabetes, which we were kind of going along that, because nobody ever wants to think they have cancer, you know. But
respiratory protocols are simple.
Yeah.
If the test is a critical result, the laboratory calls the doctor promptly upon completion of the test.
Right. So then within 24 hours, that's what happened. And he said, well, you need to get Jeff into Brigham and Women's Hospital right away, or, you know, right away. That's all he said. He said, no fooling around. He's got to get there, you know, for a series of more tests and the remedy or partial remedy or whatever they were doing. So we were just a mess at that point, but we proceeded to go. So, and God just did the rest. And we're just very thankful for the doctors. And I just wanted to get, yeah.
So close to such a prestigious, well-established cancer.
Yes, we have 49 more minutes remaining. So, I just wanted to thank God for the doctors that He's used so far at Dana-Farber, for Dr. D'Angelo and his fellow Dr. Corcoran, because Jeff agreed to do a study. So these are the people that are working with Jeff on the team there, and Jeff is also on this targeted therapy. He was only on chemo for 1 week, and then they put him. They put him on this other targeted therapy. Jeff says he can't pronounce the name of the drug that he's taken, but it's helped. It's helped shut off that enzyme switch, which caused the increase in white blood cells. They need to come up a little bit, and the hemoglobin needs to come up to carry the oxygen. So we just want to ask the Lord right now, to increase the platelets, let them be built up more in his bloodstream, and the hemoglobin, that you would replace Jeff's blood with your blood. You're going to take out Jeff's blood and put in your blood running through his system. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Tim, is there anything that you need prayer for?
Well, you know, it's funny you talked, when Jeff was telling his story, he talked about how he laid on his bed and he just surrendered his whole life to God. And what God is doing with me, and what Jesus is doing with me right now, is He is making me realize that I'm at the point where I have nothing left but God. That was a theme of a prayer that He revealed to me when I was praying, "What word do you have for me, Father?" And it was, when you have nothing left but God. And when you do, when you're at that point, what God wants is to have abandonment and total surrender. And that's
what
all of us need. And so I'm praying for I've been praying for this grace. I've been praying for the grace of complete abandonment and total surrender to God, and just to let go of everything and stop being. I'm just so worried about so many things, and I'm so heavily burdened that I just it really makes life very difficult. And I've been praying for the grace. I've been specifically asking, Heavenly Father, please grant me the grace of complete abandonment and total surrender to you. And so when Jeff did that, that was absolutely the right thing. And that's really what all of us need to do. Whether our backs, even if our backs are not up against the wall, as I am in my particular life right now, but even if that's not the case, that's what God wants. He just wants us to be like little children that just totally surrender to the Father, and God wants us to know that we are loved by God, and that's what He wants us to know. So that's what I'm praying for. That's what I need prayer for: the gift of total surrender and complete abandonment.
Yes. So Lord, we just come before You in Your throne of grace, and we thank You for the open heaven, Lord, that's in our, open up in all of our lives, just because of the time in which we live. We ask, Lord, for that grace of total surrender for Tim, for Jeff, for myself, for the viewing audience, total surrender. But that if there's anybody, Lord, that's in need of the ministry of restoration, reconciliation and restoration in this surrendering process, Lord, that let restoration flow, let your healing flow, let forgiveness flow, and let your reconciliation flow from heaven, Lord. We can't do this, Lord, outside of your grace. We can only do it, Lord, in your grace, in your grace. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the hand of the Lord, for your hand, for your right hand is on Tim. I can see your right hand resting upon Jeff and upon myself and also upon the viewing audience, whoever is listening. I thank you, Lord, for your right hand, you know, and in the sense that your eyes go to and fro throughout the earth looking for a people to be called your own, a righteous people. And I thank you, Lord, right now for your eyes are going to and fro throughout the earth and this at this time, at this hour, it's time. So we just thank you, Jesus.
Well, that was a beautiful prayer. That was really, that was just beautiful. And I want to thank you for that, Shirley. That was obviously filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
I just want to say that I'm going to need to get going in another minute or so. I won't be able to join you for the whole program, but
yes.
I'm honored for the time that we did have together on this show here.
Okay.
And I think you're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. You just went silent on us. I'm like, whoa, I see your number still is on there. So, you know, Tim, before you go, tell everybody what you are doing. You said you used to do the radio station. Now you're in the legal profession? What are you right now?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a lawyer?
That's what I am. I'm a lawyer right now, and I work in an area of law called workers' compensation, which helps people who get hurt while they're working and can't continue to work and they need money coming in. That's what I do. I help those injured workers.
Yes. And you know what, Tim, don't underestimate what you do for society and what you do, you know, for the Lord, because God, you know, obviously is using you in the context of your profession. He's also using you with your mother and father. I mean, you purchased, you were able to purchase a house for your mom and dad, right? I mean, that, you know, your mom and dad are up there in age, but, you know, that's a ministry that many people don't understand as a ministry. I mean, you are honoring your mother and your father, and blessings are falling upon you as you're doing that. So I hope that you can receive that right now.
Well, thank you, Shirley. I appreciate that.
You know, because I know about lots of times you've said on the show, you know, you just want to do and be where, you just want to do what God wants you to do, and you want to be where God wants you to be. But I believe He has you doing what you're doing right now for this season. Many things that we're gonna teach in our school ministry through Seek Christian Teaching and Worship Center online, and that's why we're doing this fundraising. Number one, we want to have scholarships for people, you know, that can't afford it worldwide. Right now, we have almost 700 friends that are on the Facebook, and maybe about 115 that are very interested in what Seek Christian Teaching and Worship Center how to offer, we have a My Church website too, so you know we can communicate more intimately with our friends on YouTube and Facebook and whatever other social network gets involved with us. Regarding ministry, we have the four phases of ministry development, and in the first one, we're going to really center and focus on reconciliation with God and man, restoration and surrendering. But there's going to be courses that we're going to be set up to get, you know, that are geared towards that. And, you know, and we're going to go into forgiveness, the forgiveness ministry, the dream, because God ministers to us in dreams. That's how most of us, a lot of us get our mission and vision. And you know, the more that we understand who we are, we're multidimensional people, not one-dimensional, you know, who we are in the Lord, and the more our spiritual ears are open, we don't need to worry, even if we find ourselves doing what we, you know, really don't think we're going to be doing the rest of our lives. But, you know, we have to really thank God for the season that we're in. And, Tim, you need to thank God for the season that you're in. I need to thank God for the season I'm in. And we seem to sometimes get so dissatisfied just in the transition as we're making it that I think we can lose focus on that, you know. So I just want to thank God for the season that you're in, season that I'm in, the season that our viewing audience is in. And we ask that you all just, like, you know, come to Facebook, type in Dr. Shirley, or even Tim. Tim's on Facebook, Tim O'Leary.
Jeff's
on Facebook.
I am.
Yeah, Jeffrey B. Facebook, Jeffrey B. Cannon. Yeah, we're all the Facebook family. So, you know, Tim, are you going to be back to here in the studio to do next week's broadcast in Block Talk TV?
With the help of God, we'll be able to do it.
Yeah, and we are definitely going to do it. We didn't do it for this Tuesday. It was St. Patrick's Day and my husband's birthday, and we and everybody was not available, so we decided to, you know, leave 1 week and just next week just believe that God's going to invade our lives with His presence through the worship of heaven on Faith Talk Live Prayer on Tuesday on Facebook and YouTube. So, but also, you know, Facebook will be able to put in a plug for, you know, in the link for where we're going to be broadcasting live. And so we have several things that we want to do. We want to purchase TiVo. We'll have a TiVo screen going because we're going to go for the lifetime membership. And what that will entail is that anybody who has movies or that you want to do up to 2 hours, we can actually have a movie channel coming from YouTube to TiVo. And TiVo, many people all over the world get it, and it's just a lovely way of just, you know, for social networking to be broadcast in this format. So, and then we want to, you know, also train up people in our media outreach school, ones that have been called as leaders to the multimedia ministry that are good with the camera or want to be, to train them. This is going to all be online. We're looking right now several online formats. So, Tim, pray for us for that area. I also have to be an audience here to do that, too, because we really see that there's going to be a need for that. But people, because we're in this trying economic time, there's going to be a lot of people that don't have the money. So we're going to need, you know, the donations for that. And also, you know, we do serve New England. Serve New England is a food co-op here and caters to our local community. It is the offshoot of Share New England, established by Mother Teresa. But in this area, you know, I've been meeting with the executive director, Ian Adams, and we're looking to doing a coffee house venue once a month, maybe twice a month, and where we want to get all the young people, you know, that really want to serve the community, serve God's people, and, you know, and have live worship and different things like that coming through the Sir New England Warehouse. So, you know, we're talking to different people, letting them know what's going on, and it seems like everybody likes that idea. And so that's what we're going to do, because we can't really have, even though we're like a house or church online web fellowship, we don't have the capacity for many people coming through. We do have the forum of WSCKI-TV as well as WSCIRO to get the information out, but, you know, to actually have a live physical event would have to take place outside of where we are. So we're looking forward to all that. And, Tim, it sounds like you're very patient here and you do need to go, but is there any last thing you need to say to the viewing audience?
Well, I just encourage them to support the ministry that you do, because you do great work, and this program is just one evidence of that great work that you do. So with the grace of God, the people's hearts will be touched, and they'll be led to do what God wants them to do regarding supporting you, and with hopefully with God's help, you will get the support that you need.
Well, I thank you for that. So I just want you to have a nice day. Thank you for calling in. And I love you, Tim. You're like a brother to me. You know that, right?
Oh, thank you, Shirley. That's really wonderful. Yeah. And I love you, and I love Jeff also. The two of you are dear friends to me. You're very dear.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just have a wonderful day today. And check back with me after this broadcast is over to talk about what's going to happen in a couple of hours from now. While Tim's on, there is a worship venue that's happening in New Hampshire at the New London Bridge Church. Joshua Young, sings this album Closer, and you can get his album on Stream Ministries, or I think joshyoung.com, if I'm correct. But Josh Young is also on Facebook, so you can find out more about where this event's going to be, 7 o'clock tonight in North Sutton, New Hampshire. And we're going to try to see if we can make it. Tim's going to try to see if he can make it, but I don't know if he will be able to. I'm not going to speak for him. Are you going to make it, Tim?
Well, I'm hoping so. I hope I can make it, but I'm not 100% certain just yet.
Yeah, it was a last-minute thing. So, but for any of you, people out there, sons and daughters in North High, it's happening, see if you can get to it. It's really a blessing that heaven's will open up and God will be honored and glorified in this. So we thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right, Tim.
Thank you so much. I do need to go, and I want to thank you so much, Shirley, and thank you also to you too, Jeff.
Okay, yeah. Jeff just went to the other room, but I'll take him for you. Well,
okay.
So you can get this broadcast. I'm going to put this on your Blog Talk Radio button on your page or Facebook. And, anybody else that's out there that wants to, just feel free to come to Dr. Shirley here on Facebook, and I'll send you a button. So.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
All right.
All right. Well, okay. God bless you, Shirley. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So that was our friend Tim and our colleague and lifelong friend. It's just really wonderful to have friends like this, And so anyways, I want to talk to you. We got about 33 minutes remaining in this broadcast, and it's so funny to step out of faith because I didn't know exactly how we were going to pull this off, and it seems to be flowing on right along with the power of the Holy Spirit. Just before we leave, I just want to just offer this whole thing up to the Lord. My husband and I will end in prayer. And if anybody wants to contact us about this, you can do that on Facebook, like I just said. You can leave a comment on blogtalkradio.com/WSCIRO. I have a comment section. And I think that... that's enough for that. But what I wanted to share, we also have a chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. My husband's on. My husband's in the other room. He's on. I see that there are two users on here. So that's good. Anyway, what I wanted to share is that when you come to Blog Talk Radio, to blogtalkradio.com/WSCIRO, you're going to see, a list of other shows that we have done. Feel free to listen to our archive. You're also going to see some chip-in widgets, one with my face on it for See Christian Teaching and Worship Center, and the other one for Sarah New England. And we are doing fundraising for both endeavors because... what I had mentioned earlier, we are connected to serve. That is through serve, we hope to establish soup kitchens in the interest to get the manpower, the people power to carry it out. Soup kitchens in the different communities that surround our town through the churches and or community centers. Also, we would like to be able to help existing food pantries and possibly encourage people in neighborhoods to have food pantries available. You know, maybe to give them extra money to establish one. We're not quite sure how that one will go, but they would probably have to register with the food pantries that are in the local areas. And you know, as this economy, you know, bounces back slowly, it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's good to have these things in place because there are times where people are going to go up and down in their finances, but may not necessarily be able to be eligible for food stamps because they're just not poor enough, even though they are struggling and they don't have any food in the refrigerator or the ability to pay utilities. So this is where this kind of ministry would come in, and this kind of ministry of helps. I guess, you know, their state has their own formula, and, of course, you have the workers that work in these situations, you know, in the Department of Transitional Assistance. They have their own agendas as well, and they ignore pieces of information that come through, as some people reported. And so, you know, either, you know, the thing is to get either the House of Representatives involved, you know, the people that represent your community and your neck of the woods, and they'll put them. It's 2 o'clock. We have 29 minutes left. That's my secretary. So, anyways, so you know, people can feel free to do that. But also, we need these other avenues, you know, there. So, while somebody's in the middle of getting their help that they need from places that they should. But, you know, they have to get to the red tape. These are the places, these other avenues should be available that's not full of red tape. So, you know, that's what we want to be people that are outside of the red tape. We are out-of-the-box people anyways, and I don't believe in red tape. I believe in God, and I believe that the Lord wants us to helpful in this time of great need, I'm also a grant writer, so I am wet behind the ears with that. I would like to be honest with you, I would like to it'll be a little bit more experience, like start getting grants. I can get the small ones, but I would like to be able to get my hands on the big ones to so we can make a difference. We can be the difference that makes the difference in these trying times. So that's the reason why we are having this fundraiser. We've actually done a lot of things from our pockets. And that's noble, but it's at the same time, people say, well, if you're doing that and then you're struggling yourself, it's not so smart, you know. And so, you know, there is I keep saying you know a lot, forgive that speech impediment, but Lord, you can heal that one too. But I'm just searching. I'm searching in my head. I'm searching in my heart as to what the next thing is that I would like to talk about now that we have 28 minutes remaining. You know, would like to, like I said, be the difference that makes the difference. But we also would like to train others to do the same thing in our school and ministry. We just don't want it to stop with us. Like many ministries, they seem to, you know, get on the air and they want this money and that money, and we're only asking for a minimum of $7.77 a month, and those chip-in widgets that you will see on that page when you come are also going to be on Facebook page, and I have several other blogs that we will put them on, but for the most part, primarily you can donate on these widgets by just clicking in on, you know, donation or chip-in, and it'll bring you to PayPal. PayPal is very secure. PayPal account. It will tell you what the purpose is, so you'll see where you're donating, which is a very good thing. And so that's how we're going to do it. When, you know, you don't have to send any money to any address. Just chip in, and the chip in widget. And Seek has a budget, but $7 million. You know, we'll receive anything that you want to give them. The reason why we say $7.77 is because I have a friend, Karen Meisner, who was going to be a guest on here, and I talked about her earlier in the broadcast. She's a Hollywood producer. She's done many things. I'm not going to give the interview away because I'd like for her to tell you the next time we do a broadcast. The reason why she's not able to do this, and we can pray for her, she tripped over something and damaged her big toe. It's all black and blue. She's in a lot of pain, and so she's resting right now. And she didn't get that much sleep last night because the pain was so great. But I believe it's only a sprain, but it feels a lot worse because I know it's a big toe, and that big toe can get you. It's like just like giving birth, I suppose. So I just want to lift her up right now. Lord, I just ask that you take that pain away from Karen, and you would bless her in a greater way. And as she rests in you, and you would fill her with the power of your Holy Spirit, and Lord, that she would be in better shape within the next 24 hours. So we just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for my friend and your daughter. So with Karen was she was in the Hollywood production scene for a while, and she still is a producer. Once you're a producer, you never stop being a producer. But her other strength is that she is a writer, and she knows several languages. And she is a screenwriter. She does documentaries. But she also right now is a managing editor of Messianic Times. And the reason why I was mentioning her is that she will be a guest, and at the same time, she's somebody that, you know, God uses to even edit some of our things. You know, if I think that I missed out something, sometimes I might just not call her, and that's when I get in trouble, and there's mistakes, gore, and she's always saying, "Shirley, you know, I'm your friend. I want you to run things by me because you got some good things to offer." But sometimes you need two heads to look at one article or resumes or whatever. And we've actually prayed her into her job she has. My background, for some of you that don't know all my background, because I haven't put my resume out there yet, but it will be on Martha.com, is I have a teaching degree. I have a Master's of Education in Counseling, specifically School Guidance Counseling, all right? And the only reason why I'm not working there is in that capacity is because the Lord wanted me to do something else. And not only that, he gave me a very beautiful gift from heaven called Joshua. We're about ready to have a ministry called the Joshua Connection. My son Joshua is autistic. And Joshua right now is 17. But in 1992, when I was just about finishing up my studies at Bridgewater State College, a teacher's college in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, I'm very happy now, and I'm like 9 months pregnant, and all of a sudden I start going into labor, okay? And I wasn't supposed to because he was my fourth child. He was my fourth C-section. The planned C-section date was supposed to be the first week in February, but it ended up being sooner than later. So I'm like, Lord, what about? I was just walking down the halls of the college. I'm like, well, I'm supposed to be doing it for graduation. What's going on? And after I did get my degree, but they had to mail it to me. And I felt so bad because I really wanted to, you know, be in that ceremony. Like, I don't know why. You know, people just sometimes want to be honored that way. I was more in the flesh at the time. And I'm having this dialogue with the Lord, and then he says to me, this is before he found out that Joshua had autism. Then he says to me, your son is going to be the basis of your PhD. And I thought, my son, the basis of my PhD, what's all that about? You know, and I'm thinking, what's going to happen? Who is the son that I'm going to have that's the basis of my PhD? You know, I knew I was having a boy at the time because they told me through the ultrasound. It was no revelation. So what happened was, as years go by, this ministry unfolds, and then I get this title called the Joshua Connection. And somebody needs to hear this that's listening. Because I think a few of you have actually have autistic kids, and I've gotten all your emails on Facebook, and, you know, for prayer. The hand of God came out on my son through a visual representation, caught a photo in one of our visits to the residential placement that my son is at right now, because they can better help him than I can. They're more than qualified. They're more qualified than myself at this time of his life and this season of his life to help him with some of his issues associated with autism. We never stop loving him. We're there every time he needs us. So, but I had to swallow my pride and allow the Lord, because the Lord told me he was going to use people to, you know, he's going to put people around him. And I needed to let him do that. That would teach him what he needed to be taught, you know, what he needed to teach him on, that could help him in ways that I could not, because I had three other children. Okay, so that was that. The other thing is, years later, this is after all this revelation and, you know, moving forward with it, the Lord says the Joshua connection is the ministry that your PhD will be based on, that you will be teaching out of, for those who are raising children that are autistic, and you'll be working with the educational system and faith-based people, faith-based ministries. And right now, we're at that point where we're about ready to launch that ministry, but the Lord's saying right now it's in the prayer mode. It's a season of prayer. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing within the next week is putting a group out there called the Joshua Connection, Prayer for Autistic Children and Their Families. All right, so I want to see a lot of people out there who have autistic children who are Christian, and a lot of them were down in the Florida outpouring. That's another thing. When the Lord sent my husband and myself in May to check up the Florida outpouring in May of 2008, we went there the week we were supposed to have, and I'll tell you why. When we went to Pastor Steve Strader's church during the daytime, we really wanted to see Todd, but the Lord said, no, Todd's going to be the Tiger Stadium, but you need to be here. So we were there. We walked in. We thought we walked in late, but we didn't, not God's time. And then it was Pastor, I think it was Denny Kramer. No, Denny Klein. Denny Klein. So the person that's from the Orc from Oregon. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think it's Denny Klein. Anyways, he was praying, and all of a sudden the atmosphere changed. All of a sudden he said, I want to pray for all those who have special needs children, specifically autism and ADD. And I'm like, oh, that's us. And then the Lord had put on my heart to bring prayer cloth, so I brought face cloth. And I thought those were good enough so that they could be absorbed in the atmosphere. Because I couldn't bring Joshua with me. He was still in school, and he had some behavior issues still. And so there were parents that had their children there that weren't as bad as my, weren't as severe with autism as my child was. So, you know, they were up there, and they got, you know, they received whatever it was that God was doing during that prayer time. We have it on film. And one day we're going to put it all together and do a documentary. That's why another reason we're doing this fundraiser, so we can get the proper HD cam, because everything just went HD. So, you know, we're believing God for this, and this is right after we saw the hand of God on Joshua through the photo that my husband took of him one day. When I was, and then another day I was with a lamenting right around Hurricane Katrina that. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? How can you allow this hurricane to come to this land? Don't you know that there are a lot of families that are raising special needs children? You know, where are you in this? Where are you with Joshua? You said you were going to heal him. What's going on? And I was crying when I said it. I wasn't sounding like this. And many of you parents have probably had this kind of prayer time with our Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father, and so with Dad, with Dad. So anyways, what happened was He began to, all of a sudden, I was like sobbing. I was like really a wreck. This was 3 a.m. Some circles, like the Catholic Church, call it Divine Mercy Hour, between 3 and 4. So anyways, what happened was I'm carrying on. I'm on my knees. I'm a mess. I couldn't even sleep. And then the Lord said, go to the computer and work on your website. Get the pictures for your website. I was thinking, Lord, did you lose heart? What I just had poured my heart to you. And then it was like everything was just drying up. Tears drying up supernaturally, everything. I'm like, okay, I'll go to my file. I'll pull some photos. I'll pull up my website, the back office, that is, and I'll go to work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this remedy. So then I'm thinking, all right. I'm like, God has a sense of humor. Something's going on. I said, I'll know in a couple of seconds. So lo and behold, I have all the photos up. And I had to get through the Joshua photos to get to the website photos. And all of a sudden, I'm looking, and I see this hand coming out of nowhere on Joshua. And the hand of the Lord's already shown me his hand. I felt his hands. I felt his arms. But, of course, you know, sometimes I'm thinking, this is my imagination. Was this the Lord? You know, like you all do, you know, in your crisis of faith. So anyways, what happened was it was up in his hand. It was big. It was long. It was powerful. It was majestic. I could see some of the sleeve. I'm like, this is too good to be true. I'm going to call my husband, who doesn't have the same, you know, he doesn't have the eyesight that I have. I have pretty good eyesight. So I got him. I woke him up out of a deep sleep. I'm like, yeah, you've got to come. Something's going on to your computer. So he comes, and he's looking at the picture, and he says, I see the hand of the Lord. And so, honey, right over here, I'm telling them about the hand of the Lord that came out of when Joshua was, it was only a couple of minutes. But what did you say when you saw the hand that time, that night that I woke you up out of a sound sleep to see, to show you what was on the computer?
I just said, wow, because not only was that an awesome picture, but I could see it standing far further away from the computer, the screen, than I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shot easily seen.
Yeah.
Image.
Wow. And so what did that make you think? I mean, did you think it was real? Or did you?
Oh, I knew it was real because I was the one to take the picture.
Yeah. And we didn't have any idea. How long was it on the computer before we found out that it was there?
I think we went to see Joshua maybe December, January.
Yeah.
And I think it was the time Mom was visiting with us.
Okay.
And we took some pictures. He was kind of like needing to stay isolated in the corner with like no but potential for anybody to be around him.
Exactly, yeah.
And held himself there.
Because it could get loud in that group home. I mean, they share it with 7 other boys. I mean, autistic boys at that, but boys are full of energy.
Some of those young men are strompers, meaning they just like skip and jump high and land on the floor making lots of
noise. Wonderful noise.
If you're going from one location of the house to the other.
Yeah.
But it was an awesome picture.
Yeah.
And then we got reacquainted with some friends of ours who were from Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing us some Orthodox icons. And I noticed that the fingers in the icon looked like the fingers in our photograph.
What really got to me was that you could see the edge of the sleeve of the Lord. And, you know, that's not the first time, like I said earlier, that I saw the hand of the Lord.
But God planted that specifically to me, Shirley's intercessory prayer for the whole other disabled people of Louisiana, especially those in the danger zone, Katrina
danger zone. Yeah. It'd be really nice to have somebody witness about how the Lord did spare them of some kind of danger in that hurricane. I'd like to hear that. So if anybody knows anybody who, you know, came out of that with, you know, miraculously, I like to hear that testimony. But we're going to have that my son's picture in the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord on Blog Talk Radio. I think that I should post the photo and different things like that. We have about 11 minutes. And so, you know, as an offshoot of that and what I had suggested before about the Joshua Connection, we are going to start having a Joshua Connection prayer group for all those who are raising children with autism, and maybe you quite don't know what their destiny is going to be like. Or, I mean, because let's just face it, we don't know everything about autism. There's probably a spiritual component there. I prayed for like full 9 months of pregnancy when I was every time when Joshua was kicking me around 2 a.m, I would get up and just pray God's mercy, and I would just get into prayer for a couple of hours. I mean, this kid has prayer.
And I think people tend to get isolated because of the severity of the child's needs, and they start thinking that they're the only ones in this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have time for social contact outside of your home because of this,
mm-hmm.
I'd say if you have the computer and you're listening to us,
mm-hmm.
you can email at us, look us up at facebook.com.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to register to listen here if you're not a registered user.
But we do encourage you.
If you want to talk more directly to us.
Yeah, we would
well,
definitely. Yeah, and we would do, and even after we broadcast, if you simply type into your browsers, http://blogtalkradio.com/WFCIRO, our page will come up, and we're going to keep that updated. That will be a way for us to update anything that's happened in our ministry. We also have Twitter. You'll see the different, the Twitter link, and connect there if you have a mobile phone, because we'll always try to be as current as we possibly can on Twitter, especially when we're going to be getting that Metro MPS. What's that, PCS phone? Did I say it right? Yeah. I'm sure that everybody knows about what I'm talking about. And it's a cell phone that apparently you can use it as a regular phone, and you call unlimited, and you just pay. There's no credit check, and you have 1 month free. You do pay for the phone, and you don't. It doesn't cost all that much like a regular cell phone. The minutes are unlimited, so I think. No roaming too. Yeah. So this is a really good phone service to have, and I'm going to check more into that, and that'll be up the basis of how we communicate through Twitter, because it also has an internet connection. I mean, well, like a BlackBerry, it behaves like a BlackBerry, but it's not really a BlackBerry, and it also it has a Google feature where you can use it like a GPS system and things like that, so you'll always know where to go. And I think these are great things in internet land. It's funny what God is uniting Christians through the social media network. So what I just prayed right now that you would continue to bless the social media networks that allowing Christians from different denominations, believers from different denominations, to get together and in a common purpose. Get together in love and in unity, and we thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that that especially with the body of Christ that is represented in the United States, well, that we would come into a greater accountability. We would come to know in a greater way the ministry of not only reconciliation of between God and man, but restoration in the body for the full fellowship, the fellowship between believers. Well, that is just so important, because you don't want anyone to feel isolated, because isolation is of the enemy. So we thank you, Lord, for that your touch in that ministry of restoration. And people in the days ahead will understand the significance and the importance of restoration and mercy, and that they wouldn't think lower of that ministry, because that's the ministry in which you flowed in, Lord. When you were walking the face of the earth with mankind, so we thank you, Lord. You said greater things that we would do in these days because you go to be with the Father. So we just thank you, Lord. Lord, bless all the families that are raising autistic children at this time, Lord, that they would truly indeed see and experience the hand of God operate in the lives of their children, and that the destinies would be made clearer and known to not only them, but to the children that are coming up in this day and age. We thank you, Lord. Give them powerful God encounters, Lord, of the seventh kind. Seventh kind. Where did that come from? Came from heaven. So we just want to thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in this fundraising. You know, again, you know, there's also a URL you can send to your neighbors, anybody that you might want to connect with. I'm going to put a chip in widget on there for the Joshua Connection, too. I think that's very important because I believe that the Lord wants to do something with that ministry, too. In the Joshua Connection, I will be teaching and ministering to parents and ministries about, formulating a circle of support that will encompass every aspect of the child, from the womb to the tomb, to the time that they come into this existence and the time that they leave this existence, Lord. And I ask, Lord, for your guidance in this area. Area. We have 4 minutes remaining, and Jeff and I are going to be praying specifically for, basically the success of this fundraising endeavor, and that would help many people, and that God will get the glory. And we're only, touching the tip of the iceberg, folks. I mean, when we start our school of ministry, that's where the online, we've already actually established it. We've utilized the four phases of ministry development. We're able to train and teach our board of directors to the point that they have their ministries and they're going strong, and they're not stopping. You know, matter of fact, they got so busy that it was hard to get some board meetings together. So we kind of put a hiatus on that and decided to put things online and get back to them after that. But one of our friends, Tim O'Leary, he was one of the people that were, was part of the original board, but our non-voting member. And, we do have, sounds like it's politics, but you do have to have some kind of order to maintain your ministry, make sure that everything is, the guidelines are met and different things like that. But, embraced it, and we're teaching it in the four areas of ministry. So it's really nice when we can do this effectively. And so look for that. Look for that. And I think there's also going to be a chip-in widget for that one, too. As I'm thinking about it, there's going to be two more chip-in widgets that I need to create for those endeavors, the Joshua Connection and the school of ministry. We're looking at a software program that could be very interactive. There's GoToMeeting, but they're like thousands of dollars. But we're going to try something that's innovative, combining a couple of things together, video technology with maybe one of the online, like Pell Talks or something like that. But we have two more minutes, and we just want to say we love you. And we're asking the Lord to just bless this endeavor, that many people will get blessed and, beyond their wildest dreams. And if there's any ministries out there that would like to network with us in this, anybody that needs a curriculum writer based on the four phases of ministry development, give me, contact me on Facebook, especially if you are on Facebook. And, it would be under Dr. Shirley Caniff. C-A-N-N-I-F-F. F is a Frank. F is a Frank. All right, two N's. All right, not one. There's a Caniff on there. That's actually named my husband's name, Jeffrey Caniff, but he's not my husband. One N. We're down to 1 minute. So we just wanted to say love you, God bless you, and come donate, tell your friends about us. We will be on from time to time, again, within the next, 4 months. But we also are going to be teaching also from Faith Talk Live Prayer, too. And so we just thank you. God bless you, folks. Bye. Thanks for tuning in.